I'm joined on the line by Mark Alam, who is the co-founder of the Jewish Community Restaurant. I hadn't heard about it until recently, and what an amazing initiative. For those of you who don't know about it, it's a unique soup kitchen in South Africa that offers free meals to Jewish people in need. And Mark, together with Rabbi Eckhaus, established the restaurant to address a growing problem in our community: Jewish individuals and families who are quietly struggling to put food on the table, often too proud or ashamed to ask for help. Mark volunteers his time and works without pay, ensuring that anyone who walks in is treated with dignity and kindness. The Jewish Community Restaurant was created to be more than just a place to eat. It's a warm, welcoming space where no one has to explain themselves and everyone is reminded that they matter. It stands as a powerful expression of the Jewish values of chesed, loving kindness, and communal responsibility. And joining me on the line is Mark, who is the co-founder of the Jewish Community Restaurant. Mark, what a pleasure it is to chat with you, someone who really does give of his time and energy to such a beautiful initiative. If we can start with something simple, what is on the menu and what's really being served in your restaurant beyond the food?
Okay, so thanks so much for that beautiful introduction. It's always nice to hear these introductions because, you know, we get used to certain things. And when you hear it again, it just refreshes what the reality is. But thanks very much. So the menu itself, in practical terms, consists of a three-course meal. Every day it changes. There's a soup, a main course, and a dessert. But what we're serving beyond the food, which is probably just as important, is obviously a warm, loving atmosphere. A true restaurant type venue. It really, really is. And people could come there, they feel at home, they feel relaxed. It's a place where people actually are able to socialize, which these days, especially for certain group of people, is as important as food. Many of these people don't see anybody besides their cat, if they're lucky, throughout the day and throughout the week. But that is really what we serve. We serve hope in a way.
You've created a space where people can eat anonymously with total dignity. Why was that so important to you?
So the reality was, Paula, that it was actually very obvious that this was a need that really wasn't being met. It's one thing to be able to afford, not to afford a holiday, not to afford even a medical aid or a car. But when you can't afford food, it's a whole different level of neediness, which is very difficult to explain and it's very difficult to understand if you haven't experienced it personally. It's a different world. It's really very, very challenging.
What made you so sensitive to that world? What made you think of this idea?
So I've been there myself. So that's why I always say when you try and explain it to someone, I would almost say it's trying to like explain the sunsets to a blind person. As I said, it's one thing. When I came back to South Africa, I never had a car. My kids were all homeschooled. But it was very different to actually not having food. Not having food is a totally different reality. And when Rabbi Eckhaus approached me and said, you know, up until very recently, people were complaining about rentals, they needed help with certain things. He said, of late, people are actually saying that they don't have money for food. And I've got the background in this industry from Israel over the last, well, I did that for 10 years in Israel. And Israel is at the forefront of philanthropy in any type of nonprofit, whether it's agriculture, whether it's abortions, whether it's food. They are the forefront of nonprofits. And I had a very, very good experience. And I said to him, this is not very difficult to put into reality. It seems complicated, but it's very, very simple to manage. It's very simple to handle.
Mark, when you say you've been there yourself, was there a restaurant that you remember going into that stays in your mind? Or was there the idea that if there could have been a restaurant like yours, what a difference that would have made?
So the truth is, in 1994, when my grandmother was still alive, may her soul rest in peace, I lived in Berea, and she would be getting Meals on Wheels. And I would go visit her, my brother and myself, just so that she would probably offer us food. At the time, we never knew what charity was. We didn't know what needy people were. We had no idea, but my parents had made Aliyah to Israel. And we were basically on our own with no one to help us, in a way.
I'm really touched that you're so honest about sharing your story. Do you think that people who are coming to your restaurant now often have been through some kind of deep trauma or humiliation? And if yes, how does this space in your restaurant help them with their healing?
So what I've discovered, especially with these sort of people, is that you have a thing called learned helplessness, where you feel you're helpless. And that comes along because of three reasons. Number one, you feel your problem is permanent. And that is the case very often if someone doesn't have food. It's a permanent problem that literally doesn't go away month after month, year after year. It's also a pervasive problem. So if you, let's say, suffer from migraines, you suffer from migraines and you have other issues. If, God forbid, you get divorced, you're a divorced individual. But when you don't have money for food, that's pervasive. It goes into every single area of your life, as a father, as a husband, as a grandfather. You really feel that you are helpless. And, of course, you feel it's your fault. And that's the third part of being a needy person. You feel somehow it's your fault that you don't have money. And that's something that I've discovered, I've learned, and that's really what we try and deal with. We brought in a person by the name of Alice. It's very difficult to strike a balance on how to deal with this. Don't have the expertise. Alice Friedman deals with it, and she really makes a difference in their lives. She's probably the best in the industry. And when she said she's available, I never thought twice. I said, you're coming to work for us.
Mark, so as you've said, anyone can really walk in and enjoy a meal, whether they pay or not. How do you keep that balance? On the one hand, keeping financially stable and able to keep the restaurant running, and on the other hand, the emotional side of it.
That's a very difficult balance. And the balance is as emotional as you say, as financial. I mean, we get funds from donors, and we have a responsibility to make sure that those funds go to its correct causes. But people who can afford to pay, it's very challenging to explain to them, look, you cannot come for free, of course. And people who cannot afford to pay, how do you discern what is the level, what is the entrance exam, if you like? And again, Alice filled this role for us. I don't know how she does it, but she somehow has a knack for that. It's a very difficult balance. It's a good question, and I actually don't know the answer to that, to be honest with you.
I don't want to call your place a soup kitchen. I know it can be for some people, but really, I've looked at pictures of it. I've looked at a video, a beautifully made video, and you have a really delightful, elegant, candlelit restaurant. Can you tell me a little bit about the vibe and what reactions you've seen from first-time visitors?
Definitely, and that's actually it's the nail on the head of what the restaurant is all about. So there's two types of people who come to the restaurant. The first one would be, let's say, a donor. We encourage donors to come. And their reaction is they're really in total shock, you know, because it's one thing to see a needy person here, a needy person there. You go to that shul and there's a needy person. But when you see 50 or 60 of them in a room, it creates a reality that you didn't know even existed. So the donors are shocked. They're humbled. Many have told me, I have to bring my kids here. When I say many, at least four or five people, wealthy people, have said to me, you know what, I have to bring my kid here to see what's going on here. And of course, the recipients themselves, at first, it's extremely embarrassing. It's extremely humiliating. We do our best to avoid that. We do it by they sit down. They don't have to ask for food. They get served. They don't have to dig themselves up. They really get served. And within a very short period of time, meaning a few minutes, not three times, but within a few minutes, they're very, very relaxed, they calm down, and they just feel at home, and they just keep coming back. So that's really the proof that we're doing something right. The numbers are growing. We're hitting over 100 now every now and again. We noticed, just out of interest, that towards the end of the month, the numbers increase. Many people don't need to come for 2 weeks, the first 20 days. And in the last 10 days, they've literally got no money for food. And then that's when they come.
It's heartbreaking. And as you say, you want to keep people's dignity because we all have either been there or could so easily find ourselves in that situation. Your name says it all, Jewish Community Restaurant.
Yeah.
What does
yeah.
community mean to you in this context? And what do you hope people take away after a meal?
Well, I'll answer that question in a minute. You said something that's so important and I actually want to touch on it, where you say it can happen to anybody. I've got to know the people. Obviously, it's been going on for a year and a half. I sit with them and I've got to know them. And these are normal people. One guy won the lottery 20 years ago. There's another guy there who had 100 workers 15 years ago. There's another guy there who owned 3 properties in Israel. Life is what it is. And I can honestly tell you that the main thing I've learned is what you said, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
And that's very, very important, what you've just said there. Sorry, now I forgot the question. As you said that, I said I'm going to respond to that.
What does community mean to you? You've called the restaurant Jewish Community Restaurant.
Okay. So I'll tell you exactly what it means for the Jewish Community Restaurant. When people of means dine with people who don't have means, and no one knows who's who, because you won't see it on the clothing in most cases. You won't see it in the way they speak in most cases. And when people of means come and they sit at the same table, eat the same food, not that there's anything wrong with it, but they're just there with them, you see how these, and I see because I see them when they're not there and when they are there, I'm talking about the donors, their face lights up. They feel part and parcel of a bigger community. And it's really, if I can ask for one thing, is that for people to come and experience it. I'm not even going to ask for money. I'm not going to give the website. The address is 67 Elray Street. And if you want to learn something, if you want to experience a new reality that exists in South Africa, please come and visit us just for one meal.